right, Steve Aquat's still a Guardian. You made the right decision.
I had so many questions about Antonetti and the t-shirt he was wearing in the press conference.
I didn't even see the t-shirt. I'm sorry. Well, never mind.
I'm looking at him going, was he even really making calls, or was he coming from the Smith machine and he waltzed out from the... Does he use the same facility that the players do? Probably.
Tone.
Yeah, he has to. He's got access.
Well, we're used to seeing them in the polos. They're always wearing the polos. Isn't that what Matt Derry...
Oh, yeah. Like the golf polo mafia or whatever they call it.
The brigade of the mafia.
Yeah.
And yesterday, it's trade deadline day. All eyes are going to be on him. He knows he's going to give a press conference. And I don't know if this is a cognizant thing or if he's just like, oh, shoot, I got to address the media. I was burning the midnight oil up until the 11th hour.
Is he saying, hey, I was relaxed the whole time?
Yeah. Is that what he was doing, do you think, Ken? Do you think he was exuding like, oh, I've been doing this so long?
Just another day at the office.
Just another day burning it up, trying to work it out. And there you go. There you got Chris Antonetti looking like an Adonis. He's in good shape. Know that. I was obviously thrilled that they kept Stephen Kwan. Now, his agent's in town. Can we get something done now? Or does he still just want to play on the West Coast and he's not going to accept any amount of money?
Well, I imagine.
I just want to know if they were to offer him like a nice amount of money, would he just turn it down to go play for the Dodgers or the Mariners or Giants or something like that?
Man, it's weird.
There's people out there who believe that.
Because he still has... You know, it's not like he's an unrestricted free agent like they have in the NBA. And next year, he can get this huge, huge new contract. Like, he's got to wait. And injuries are such a big part of this game, too. Like, I imagine they are. I imagine they are throwing numbers around like crazy.
That's what David Sampson, who, boy, just found a way to upset everybody. I mean, he alienated the entire audience yesterday. That's what David Sampson was saying. Because I totally disagree with David, but I'm not going to sit there and pick a fight with the guy. We had him for 25 minutes, and I pick a fight with you, I pick a fight with Daryl, pick a fight with Pony, pick a fight with a lot of people. I was just like, I'm not going to bog it down because he has an opinion from a front office point of view. When I brought up, like, hey, we need to be trying to build around the guy who took a discount. And he goes, well, did he take a discount? I don't believe guys take discounts. I go, I don't know how you can look at Jose Ramirez and think the guy didn't take a discount. It would have had to be a life-changing injury during that season for him to not get more money, even more money than the Guardians got. So I've read your tweets. I've got your emails. I've heard the calls. I totally agree with you on that. It was just, I got to get to the Stephen Kwan stuff. Had to get to the other things. This was right before Shane Bieber had got traded. So there was a lot of things to get into with David Sampson yesterday. You can hear that entire interview, 92.3thefan.com. It seems a lot of you just want to cuss him out if he ever comes to Cleveland, though. But go ahead.
How did you guys take in the trade deadline? Because at one point, I was trying to avoid it. Like, I was not checking social media. I was expecting bad news. Yeah. I really was. I was expecting it to come down. And I'm just like, oh, man, 4 o'clock came. And when did we talk on the phone? Because I'm like, Is the deadline not till 6?
No, you go, is he gone? Is it over? And I'm like, well, no, we got 2 more hours. I called you, the call ended at 4:28 p.m.
Yeah, part of it was a defense mechanism because, look, I didn't want to walk into today with a trade. Even if I thought they'd win the trade.
I was anticipating it.
Even if I thought, hey, this is the way to pivot. This is the way that the Guardians in the past have been able to fortify their future. It's never been signing free agents. It's prospects. It's trading for guys. Maybe they could get I didn't hear a lot of chatter about this, but a major league ready guy now.
Yeah.
And so the logical side of my brain was like, hey, they used to tend to win these trades. So, you know, the fans are going to be outraged tomorrow if they trade them, but I'm going to hold firm and pretend like I know these prospects. And then they didn't do it. And then they didn't trade him at all, which I got to say was a surprise. Just as negative as the fan base was yesterday, I thought for sure he was going to get traded.
I thought for sure it was going to happen, too, until about, 5:05 or something like that. And then Ken Rosenthal's like, it's becoming increasingly unlikely that Stephen Kwan gets traded. And then we had, youth football practice. So I was like, well, I got my watch on, so I'll get noticed eventually. And I didn't get any texts. I texted you guys just to make sure from the phone. Nothing. I went, all right, he's here. And then that's good. Very, very good. The other trades, though, that were made, you know, Paul Sewald's gone. I'm not. Are you brokenhearted over that? Because I'm getting to something here, Owen. No. Are you brokenhearted over that, Owen?
Who?
Exactly. So Lyme's not brokenhearted. I'm not. Shane Bieber. What did you think of Shane Bieber? What did you think of that? I mean, we were on air, but go over your initial reaction. You kind of expected it.
Yes, and so I was kind of excited to see what they actually got for him from the baseball nerd.
And it seemed like they got a decent return for Shane Bieber. So you got Shane Bieber gone, and you had Paul Sewald gone, and you got a decent return out of Shane Bieber there. Stephen Kwan stays. Is the season over? Did they raise the white flag? They did not add.
Which
but
I never thought they would add. Anybody that was paying attention at all didn't think they were adding, did they?
Well, the only possible addition would be the addition by subtraction thing. So had
with Carlos Santana,
right? And that means Manzardo's going in and you're getting him reps. We all know he's not great at first. So now he's getting reps and then maybe Kephas comes up. That would have been the only way to really add to what they had right now.
That's about it.
That's what they have.
That's about it. So I can't, when you're two games out of the wild card, I don't think that you're raising the white flag. However, I mean, I have to read this. I mean, they were excoriated. And this is where it almost becomes Stockholm syndrome, guys. Because you guys have been frustrated, and I've become frustrated here over the last few months, where the Buster Olneys of the world, the people who know things, you know, they look at you as if you are one of the premier franchises in the game. And I think that a lot of people become frustrated with that because, yeah, you are a good franchise. No one's saying that they're a terrible franchise. But when you can't get over the hump, I think a lot of people get upset about that, and rightfully so. It's a game. It's professional sports. You want to win. But CBS Sports killed him yesterday. The grades came out for the trade deadline. Guardians got an F. You ready for me to read this to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Here we
go. Guardians traded two players who are currently injured and otherwise didn't do anything. They're only 2.5 games out of a playoff spot, so why were they trading Shane Bieber when they have a lackluster back end of the rotation? Ah, to save money. That's right. Again, 2.5 games out. Pathetic. That's what they wrote. And
well, we have no idea if he can pitch.
But that's where I get the Stockholm syndrome.
I kind of think that's funny. That's, how can you kill him if they just got something for a guy that might have been valueless to them?
That's why I say
Stockholm
syndrome.
If he can't pitch, if he's not any good.
But to this website, these are national guys. They're going, why are you letting go of Shane Bieber? And I'm going, we were getting ready to let go of Shane Bieber last year.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised at all. I've made my amends with letting go of Shane Bieber.
Hurt, he wouldn't have even been here.
Exactly. He wouldn't have been here by the trade deadline.
He had to sign with the Guardians because he had no other prospects.
I feel like this is found. Honestly, I think the Bieber deal is found money.
Correct.
I think this is a steal.
I think he's right. 100%. I agree with you. So
I think that who's doing the grades on this? Do you have the name of the guy? Was it Dane?
There's Exesa.
Matt Snyder and Dane Perry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Matt Snyder. I've talked to Matt Snyder a bunch in the past.
I mean, I'm sure these guys are much, much closer to everyday baseball. I don't know how much they are paying attention to the Guardians every day. But at the same time, are they thinking of Shane Bieber from 3 years ago, 4 years ago? Do they know?
I think they're looking at it.
Do they know we don't know if he can pitch this year?
I think what they're looking at is going, hey, it looks like he's going to be back. What I don't know what he's going to be able to help with. And remember, they don't mention this, and they probably know. Maybe they don't. My antenna went off when he was scheduled to pitch at Akron, and then that got called off, and we pushed this all back another month. So who's to say I'm going to get Shane Bieber at all? I know he was in Akron just the other day, and maybe for the new club he goes out and he does well. I don't know. I got nothing against Shane Bieber, so we'll see what Shane Bieber does up in Toronto.
I mean, I was kind of being facetious yesterday, but I said it on the air. I'm like, I don't even know if he can pass a physical. So... Well, if we could get anything for him.
If he's pitching in the minors,
But you know how this is. It's one game, one setback. Like, that's kind of how it works for pitchers in this state of affairs.
216-474-0092. Did they raise a proverbial white flag? Is the Guardian season over?
No, I mean trading Kwan would have been.
That's what I thought. That's the major hit to the franchise and to the fan base. You didn't trade Stephen Kwan, so there's no emotional hit to the fan base. So you're still in this holding pattern. I think it's still a purgatory of a season in so many ways, but I don't find it to be this white flag. Like what the Twins did, you got rid of 11 guys on your 26-man roster.
And all they're talking about is saving money.
Yes,
with the Twins.
That to me is definitely like, hey, and they weren't that great to begin with, but like whatever we did before a couple years ago, before the TV deal went out, that's all out the window now. That's gone. So they're going to terrible mode, and it's going to be a while before they build. I don't think this organization went to terrible mode. Now, I expect more out of the guys who are playing. I do, as you guys said, Manzardo should be every day now. Maybe we should get Kafis up here eventually here very shortly. Like, there should be something. The season's still got to stand for something. But I thought I'd be in here ranting and raving over Stephen Kwan being gone this morning. I'm not, so I'm not that upset. Maybe you feel I should be. Not you, but maybe the people out there should feel I should be upset and ranting and raving against this organization.
We're upset about the season. Like that, you're asking about the trade deadline.
Well, the season hasn't gone well, but...
But for people, they're just... I think a lot of people are going to lump everything in. They're going to lump, and even, you know, Owen, you had mentioned buyers. Like, because you've had more optimism. You've had more right. of a... And I almost think...
Well, I made my playoff prediction, right, during the All-Star break. And really, what has changed? Emmanuel Clase, he's gone, right? I thought about it this morning driving in. Like, I still think they're on the fringe of all that. Some of it's changed a little bit. My optimism has changed because things don't look great in that situation, right? But I still believe that if you tell Gattis or Cade Smith, like, hey, you're the closer now, I think you're going to get pretty good returns out of them. It all stems off of, are we going to score more than four runs or not?
That's
the only thing that changed.
Yes, my anger and going back to the Kwan thing. I don't mean to beat it up. Well, yeah, you have to because he was the biggest piece of the. He was the biggest piece of news, whether or not he was going to be traded or not going to be traded throughout this entire process for the Guardians. I felt as if yesterday morning that it was, and please forgive the analogy, but it's like a guy chasing cards in blackjack because of the Emmanuel Clase situation. We were going to get this return. Like, I had folks going, Ken, look at the return other teams got. This is what they could have got for their closer in Emmanuel Clase. Okay, but that doesn't all of a sudden turn around and give me license to just go trade away Stephen Kwan out of my lineup when I don't have a good lineup to begin with. Now you're just chasing deals.
Were those the same people? And I it was probably impossible for you to know, but maybe just from the sentiment, if you can kind of gauge just where fans are at right now.
They were the same people walking in. They do not wear golf polos with the Guardians, but they definitely walk around in the hallways of Progressive Field. Who are telling me that?
Well, what I mean, I understand that. What I mean is the people that are now lamenting, oh my God, look at the return we could have got for Clase. Were those the same people that were going to kill him the minute they traded Clase?
No.
Because I do think
I don't think that the people telling me that. Thank you for clarifying. The people who were telling me that were not those people.
Because I do think there is a segment of the fan base, and I think it's unfortunately for the Guardians, it's bigger than you would like, that were in rip mode no matter what they did.
Well, they're damned if you do, guys. Right? They're gonna no matter what. They're going to disagree with what they do because they're mad at the way they spend money and things
and
like that.
And I get
that.
I totally understand starting in this offseason, not bolstering a team that went to the ALCS and doing everything you could and throwing all the money that was left in the bank account. Even though we had David Sampson on yesterday, who's like, no teams are operating like that. He's like, okay, the Dodgers, they also have the biggest TV deal known to mankind. Like, no teams are spending above what they can actually pay. He's like, there's not one.
I don't feel that the season, they didn't go for the gusto. I never thought they would go for the gusto, whatever the gusto is. I don't feel like the season's over. I don't feel that there's been a white flag. I am not emotionally bothered by Paul Sewald being gone. Now, maybe Matt Derry will join us at 7:40 this morning, and he will prove me wrong on that, or maybe one of you fine folks will prove me wrong on that. And I have made amends 2 years ago with the idea of Shane Bieber being gone. So I am not nearly as emotionally disturbed as what I thought I was going to be if Stephen Kwan is. It doesn't put a sunny disposition. It's not, hey, look over here and forget all the other stuff. You've still been a disappointing season. You've still had a disappointing season this year. You've still made moves or made decisions, not moves, but decisions that I flat out don't agree with, and I think the majority of Guardians fans don't agree with and don't believe makes a lot of sense. But if you would have traded Stephen Kwan, not only do I think that you're raising the white flag on the season, I think you're raising the white flag on, frankly, the rest of the Jose Ramirez era, if you were to do something like that. Because the prospects you would get are not going to come to fruition soon enough to really be able to help out my superstar, my future Hall of Famer, and Jose Ramirez. That was going to be my big issue. That's what I was going to be so upset about. I'm not upset. I'm not really understanding on this. They're still in the place that they were, but it wasn't Twins. It wasn't this fire sale that I thought it was going to be. I'm not crying tears over Paul Sewald. I respect Shane Bieber and what he did for the organization, but you know, we thought he was going to be gone last year, and it's exactly what you said. It feels like found money.
And you got Toronto's fifth prospect, right?
Yes.
Their fifth-ranked prospect.
216-474-0092. Do you believe the Guardian season is over? Did they raise the white flag? I say no. I say no. It's not a charge. It's not going for it. But it is not, to me, raising the white flag. Matt Derry, Derry Brothers Guardians cast, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com. He said if the Guardians would have traded Stephen Kwan, he would have been out until the Dolan sold the team. Are people serious when they say that? Do you want to call out Matt at 7:40 this morning and go, are you serious about that? Boy, what made for a very good Guardians cast had they had traded Stephen Kwan away?
There'd be a couple really good ones afterwards.
Yeah, but then after that, it's like, well, if you're not going to watch a team, what the hell's the point of doing this?
There's one brother giving him very, very... just play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch, comprehensive breakdowns of the game, and Matt goes, I didn't watch the game. I told you I wasn't going to watch.
Well, Todd's the one at times I'm afraid to have on, because every now and then on the Guardians cast, there is a strong bit of audio that is dropped every now and then from Todd, where he will get so frustrated and say a few choice words, and I'm always afraid, like, are we going to have to dump him? Yeah.
Listen to the end of the latest episode. Matt gets a little hot.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Okay. There you go. But he's going to join us at 7:40 this morning.
He can't say those words on this show.
Like, I told you, the time I actually flirted with the idea was, it was CeCe. When they traded CeCe, I had to sit back and kind of reevaluate myself and my fandom. It was 2008, 2007, 2008. And I had to really reevaluate what I was going to do as a fan of this team. And then I snapped out of it. I'm telling you, it took me a week. I had to go find myself for a minute with my fandom and go, do I want to do this? I'm a young man at the time. I'm thinking, do I really want to do this for the rest of my life? Be a fan of this team, knowing that, and it's, by the way, it's still the same economic situation that it was in 2008, right? Baseball-wise, not in the world, obviously, but baseball-wise,
I'd argue it's gotten worse.
You're still in the same economic situation, and it took me about a week, and I went, nah, come to your senses. Come on. This is bad, but you're not going to pick a player over a team. I'm not going to go with a player over a team. That's insane. I can't let another guy control my emotions. As we sit here and talk about Shedeur Sanders, and I got all animated and all that stuff yesterday, I can't sit there and let another guy in his legacy or what he's going to do impact my entire fandom. I couldn't allow myself to do it. So if I wasn't going to do it over CeCe Sabathia, who just went into the Hall of Fame last week, I'm not going to do it over Stephen Kwan.
Well, and
it doesn't mean I ain't going to be angry, but I'm not going to do it over Stephen Kwan. No offense to him.
I do think part of, and this is going to hurt to hear for a lot of fans, and maybe some fans have just kind of left and they're like, wake me up when football starts. But I do think There's so much of an element of you've been beaten down by all the trades, knowing they're never, you know, we played the Chris Rose audio yesterday. When can I buy a jersey again outside of Jose Ramirez? Like every guy that you're excited about is eventually, if he's too good, he's going to get traded. They're not going to ever sign a guy who's really good unless they take an all-time hometown discount like Jose. And it's such a rarity that even David Sampson on yesterday didn't even reference that. He's like, nobody takes a discount in the MLB because they don't. We've got the one guy who did it the one time.
Exactly. And I totally disagreed with him then. And I'll continue to disagree with him anytime he brings it up. You know, my issue was, and I mean, even, you know, 2016, they make the World Series. So it's like, well, why would you, 8 years later, they make the World Series. So it would have been a short-sighted type of thing, even though it would have been long-sighted. But you think about the amount of fans, and this is why baseball has the problems that it has. And I don't want to bog it down with that conversation because I do want to talk about Stephen Kwan and whether or not this team has called it quits for the year or whether or not they still have a chance here. And we'll get back to that here in a second. But if you were to look at it, like, I know we busted you-know-whose stones up there. He's working on stuff, Mitch, about the Yankees and things like that. I don't believe any of the stuff he says about the Yankees. I thought that that was a farce, and I don't care. But that's neither here nor there. A guy our age, I'm 5 years younger than you, I'm 4 years younger than him, Owen. If a guy our age is right here in Northeast Ohio, I could say, I'm done with the Guardians. I'm done. Am I going to go be a Los Angeles Dodgers fan? Do I look like an LA guy? Am I going to be a Yankees fan? Do I really look like a New York guy? Am I going to be a Mets fan? I know the Mets are like the little brother there, but I'm not going to be a Mets fan. I'm not that guy. So I can't. It's not easy to just slip into another team. You can't do that. So now it's just I don't like baseball as much instead of I'm a hardcore fan of this team, but I still follow baseball. And like baseball, Rob Manfred and the cohorts, they really don't care. They don't care. If I were to say I'm now a Yankee fan and I'm going to go to Yankee Stadium a couple times a year when the Yankees are in town, I'm going to watch the Yankees. My money still spends, so they don't care. But if I'm just going, you know, that's the problem with baseball. All right, when does football camp open up? Like that. That is the problem. I think that's what's happened over the last decade plus.
Is it bad for the team? Is it bad for the Dolans or is it good for the Dolans? That I'm sitting here yesterday going, yeah, they're probably going to trade Kwan. And Owen's like, are you not mad over the last week? Are you not mad about any of this? And I'm like, yeah, I've just been a fan so long. I know this is what they're going to do. And then it'll probably end up working out for them. They'll probably be good again in a year.
I think
that's typically how it's been.
I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good.
But the alternative would be I just don't follow the sport anymore and I don't care anymore.
What have we yelled at each other the most over in the last almost decade together? The Cavs and the Browns. A lot of Browns, a little bit of Cavs. There's been passion about both those teams. What's the biggest argument that's always given about the Browns? Because we love to blame the other teams for the other team's troubles. People don't go to Guardians games, but they go to Browns games. People feel passion about Browns games. And there's less of them, I know that. But there's passion around the Browns. There is passion around the Cavs. The Cavs don't just exist. The Cavs do things, and their sports, those sports protect those things because everybody feels they have a chance. But they do things in those sports that make people passionate. If there's no passion behind it, then what's my reason to go out and give you things? Again, it's entertainment. It's an attraction. So if I'm not passionate behind it, why do I want to go see it more than just maybe once a year or more than when my boss gives me his tickets or when my work has an outing or anything like that? You understand what I'm saying? That's the problem with baseball is that 30 years ago or in the 90s, where you and I were alive to see the Guardians be or the Indians be the second most spending team in professional baseball before George Steinbrenner decided to go crazy with it and really destroy the system of what it is. That was a passionate following. That was passionate throughout. You had the home run derby that was going on with Sosa, McGuire, and Griffey, and Albert, and you had that going on. These guys were major stars. You felt like your team was in it every year. Nobody outspent anybody to a crazy, crazy, crazy level. Yes, I know. From the 1950s on, there has been like an A's fan would say, "Well, we've been a minor league system for the Yankees," or a Royals fan would feel the same way, or even to a certain degree, maybe an Indians fan would have felt the same way. But you still felt like you had a chance. Now it feels like you just have to get lucky, and that is not a feeling for a lot of fans. And when you have people that you don't believe are going to be here for very long, I can't just slip into being a Yankee fan. I can't just slip into being a Dodger fan. It's not my type of city. This is my type of city. I ain't going to go be a Pirates fan because they're worse off than any of us can even imagine here with the Cleveland Guardians. So there's no point in doing that. So then all of a sudden you're just watching less. And now it's harder to find the Guardians than it's ever been. You used to be able to just turn on Channel 43. Now you can't even do that. So where if you've made it harder to follow along emotionally and you don't give me this tie-in emotionally, and I'm an emotional guy, and then you make it hard to find the product, what's the point? I mean, what's the point? That is the baseball problem. That is why days like today are frustrating. But there have been times where days like today have been frustrating and we just close the book and call it a season. I don't think it's the end of the season. I don't think they've raised their white flag. They didn't go out and make tremendous moves. I didn't think they would. But I'm not going to give up and stop watching the Guardians. I'm going to watch them play the Twins tonight and expect them to beat the brakes off the Twins, considering what the Twins have done here over the last 24 hours.
Do you think the point, the fact that it's not like fans are buzzing this morning on the phone lines. Normally, trade deadlines always can be very polarizing for a fan base. The fact that we are not hearing from people upset that they weren't like buyers. Do you think it's set in for everybody, for the fan base, that it's already been a lost year. This was not a team worth going out and trading assets for anybody to make some kind of a run, even though they're only, what was it, 2.5? Is it 3?
They're three now.
Yeah. They were off last night.
Because there will be another add-on to this. And if you are a person who doesn't like the Dolans, you can get upset all over again. Because they're only 2.5 games out of the wild card. 2.5 games out. I don't know three, after three, today. They're three games out of the wild card now after last night. Thank you. They're only 3 games out of the wild card. They are still very much in the postseason. I know the rest of the American League ain't that good, but they're only 3 games out of the postseason right now. If they make the postseason, then what did you do to augment this team where they got to the postseason? And then you guys are the ones, the same freaking ones that tell us that all you have to do is go to the postseason and get lucky. Yeah, but you would do whatever you can to try to hedge your bets. You would do whatever you can to try to give yourself the best chance possible. You don't just go with silly luck all the time. So what did you do to augment? Oh, yeah, you didn't. And why didn't you? Because you're trying to save money because of the TV deal and the work stoppage. And then it gets to the same sentence, and you know what I'm going to say. If you're so broke, then sell the bleeping team. That's what it is. So we're still going in the same circle. We're still arguing the same thing. I just don't think the season's over. I'm in with the guys in the clubhouse. I'm in with the manager of the baseball team, even though I don't know why he doesn't play Carl Manzardo as much as he should, and there's other decisions there, but I still think he's a fine guy and a fine manager, for crying out loud. I'm in on that, but we still have the same problem with ownership. We still have the same problem with the blaming a Major League Baseball that the guy's an owner in. I had to check this. I texted you guys yesterday. Said I was going to do this last segment. It's going to happen right now. We were bitching about the Guardians, and it just took over the day. Denzel Ward on Twitter. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. 6:44 and 34 seconds for those scoring at home. Denzel, my Ohio State brother Terry McLaurin would look fire in a Cleveland Browns jersey. I'm just saying.
Fire emoji.
Yes, fire emoji.
I mean, I agree.
Well, he wrote fire, and then he put the fire emoji in there. He wrote fire. He wrote the word.
He doubled down on it.
He doubled down on fire. Two fires in the same tweet. I mean, I looked at that, I go, is that real? Denzel Ward don't say boo to a goose, to be honest with you, and when it comes to the media. And then I look and there's Twitter. He actually does get on Twitter. I just always assume it's like a PR person who sends players tweets so much, especially a guy like Denzel. Denzel's a franchise guy.
Maybe it's a cousin who is an assistant.
$100 million guy. Like, I don't. And then it just says, my Ohio State brother Terry McLaurin would look fire in a Cleveland Browns jersey. I'm just saying. I went, holy geez. So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago because Terry McLaurin has now requested a trade, according to Jordan Schultz and Adam Schefter. So Terry McLaurin's not doing very, doesn't think highly of the Commanders right now, Terry McLaurin. Great wide receiver. Problem is, he's 29 years old. My wide receiver room is terrible. Absolutely terrible.
And he wants a contract, right?
Correct.
Yes. Other than Jerry Jeudy, I say it's terrible. Like, the guys might be good. It's just totally unproven other than Jerry Jeudy. I have to play with more than one wide receiver. It's just going to be Josh Gordon all over again. So I have to have other guys. So my wide receiver room is bad. One of the worst in the league. I think they were 29th by The Athletic.
Well, I was saying yesterday, if Deontay Johnson is being regarded as like the number two right now,
exactly,
and a lock to make the team, what does that tell you?
But I'm going, okay, what do I trade for Terry McLaurin? And while I get excited because I really think Terry McLaurin, now he's got Jaden Daniels, so people are finally seeing what he's available to. But Ohio State fans have known this. You have known this. Terry McLaurin's probably the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL for the last couple of years, up until when Jaden Daniels got with the Washington Commanders. I still can't advocate a trade for the guy. It doesn't make any sense, common sense, for this organization. But how many more games do they win with Terry McLaurin? And then there's the whole conversation, how many games do people actually want to win with this football team?
Yeah, yeah, it is a good point. There's almost no logic in trading for him, except that we were talking about emotion with Kwan. And
there's one
the
thing
Guardians
I can think
not,
to do.
But we were talking about all the emotion with that and them not trading Kwan. And I'm telling you, I mean, if they did trade for Terry McLaurin, we would be kind of excited, wouldn't we?
I'd be excited, but I'd be excited for the now, and I think by the end of the year, I'd go, why did you make the trade? What was the point of it? I don't think he's not a malcontent. He's not a guy that's going to create problems for you in the locker room.
But he's using,
none of those things.
He's using the most leverage he could possibly use.
This is it.
And maybe the last time he's ever going to be able to use it.
So I don't begrudge him for trying to make a payday, and I don't think any Browns fans would begrudge him either. He doesn't play for the Guardian, or he doesn't play for the Browns either way, so it doesn't matter about that. But again, how many more games do I win? And so we're running into this problem here where it's like, how much do I want to win? Do I want to win? And what does the season stand for? I think those are questions. Like, I think a fan wants to win, but they don't know if they want to win too much because you have two first-round picks next year. Okay, so that would not bring you in Terry McLaurin. You want to win, but do you really want to win because of the two first-round picks? And then, well, if you want to win, then Joe Flacco starts the season. But what are people saying? Well, if Joe Flacco, I heard the caller last night on Jake's show where you, and it was several callers. Well, every snap that Joe Flacco takes is another snap less for either Shedeur Sanders or Dillon Gabriel, and we got to get this thing figured out. So you're going up against these two things. You don't really stand for much as an organization. I'm supposed to bring Terry McLaurin into this for what? To win six games instead of five? It's a nonsensical move
now,
to make.
Is there an argument that
he would help out Shedeur Sanders and Dillon Gabriel?
Or the rookie the following year.
But you know what? Terry McLaurin's a great wide receiver. How many quarterbacks has he played with that have just sucked up the room up until I know that Alex Smith didn't really get the chance because of the injury. Okay, fine. But, man, you've had a lot of guys there that have just ended up being terrible. So Terry McLaurin isn't going to put either of those guys into the Hall of Fame. They have to go out there and play for themselves. How many guys have we seen? It's always quarterback to wide receiver. It's a wide receiver can make a guy look decent, but in the end, it's still going to end it. Josh Gordon had 1,600 yards. Brandon Whedon's still on his ass. Terry McLaurin can go out there and put up 1,200 yards. And Shedeur Sanders or Dillon Gabriel can still be on their ass. So what does it help? And honestly, do you even want it if you really want to evaluate Shedeur Sanders and Dillon Gabriel? I'm not trying to make it harder on them, but don't you want a true evaluation? What did we just say yesterday? Gabe Larvidane, the kid from Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
You got Gabe Larvidane, the kid from Miami of Ohio. I said, hey, Shedeur, throwing to him, threw a touchdown pass to him. You want guys to elevate? You want them to elevate. You don't want to be fooled by just Terry McLaurin or by Jerry Jeudy. So you can take either argument and do anything you want with it. I can bring those guys in. I'm still not going to win that many games. I can bring that guy in, and then I can still find, okay, well, then, great. He was here for a season. He did well, but he really kind of masked what we were not seeing with certain quarterbacks on this football team. And now we're in a worse position because it's 2027, and we weren't able to get in on the 2026 class. I know that people say Arch Manning to make themselves feel better, but you're still not doing yourself the service of it. So hey, I know Denzel Ward, and you seem like you are not interested in this conversation whatsoever.
Well, I'm telling you that if they traded for him, I think we'd be going Super Bowl, Super Browns, even if it's
if we traded for him, I would not be saying, oh, yeah, we've done Super Bowl, Super.
Yeah,
that's how it started, was tongue-in-cheek.
But just the excitement of having him, knowing that, I mean, is he better than Jeudy? Or are they 1A, 1B?
Probably 1A, 1B. I mean, Jerry Jeudy played really well this year.
Now, but McLaurin's proven it now with no quarterback play. I mean, he's had Keenum, Heineke,
right.
Smith, like, he's had nobody throwing to him.
Yeah, but, okay, Terry McLaurin's been better throughout his career than what Jerry Jeudy has. Jerry Jeudy has less years. Maybe Jerry Jeudy ends up having another great season with four of these quarterbacks here this year. So we'll see what Jerry Jeudy's able to do. Fine, 1A, 1B. I'm not going to split hairs. Yes, Terry McLaurin's been the better wide receiver, but I still don't know if Jerry Jeudy has had that opportunity. But either way, what are you saying about this situation?
That it makes no sense logically to trade for a wide receiver pushing 30 at this stage. Like, it just, it makes no sense because we've come to grips, right? I think most Browns fans have come to grips that, and Albert Breer, the way he deemed it, didn't call it a total rebuild, but it kind of is, right? It kind of is a rebuild, even though they've got Denzel Ward and they've got
Miles
and they've got the aging offensive lineman, because next year it's going to be a totally different team. Like, the veterans are all going to be kind of phased out of here.
You'll probably have Miles. You'll probably have Denzel to some level. I don't know what they're going to do with David Njoku. I think
Conklin,
he's in his final year. Conklin,
yeah,
Batonio.
Veterans or
what? Yeah. And you got
and
a lot of pressure.
It's kind of assumed that, all right, Harold Fannin, that'll be year two for Harold Fannin. Mm-hmm. It's going to be his team at tight end, not David Njoku.
Gosh, you're thinking about this. Whoever is able to get that quarterback job, you're probably playing with some rookies on the offensive line anyway next year. I know a lot of people like to look at the depth of the offensive line and get excited for you. Okay, if Zach Zinter is able to come in and play, which you hope so, my God. If Zach Zinter is able to come in and play, a guy who I was excited about but coming off a leg injury last year, all right, that solves one of the guards. What, or he might end up playing center for you, for that matter.
So I do think the good teams go out and find a lineman in free agency. Not a bunch of linemen, but they find one or two in free agency. But you've got to have a bunch of good young linemen already, and they don't have that for sure right now.
So still, in real life, we're looking at a quarterback who can elevate it and make it look better than what it is. But really, we're putting off a rebuild here that starts in earnest next year, because you're not going to pay any of those. You might pay one, but if Harold Fannin Jr. shows anything, sorry. If Wyatt shows something, maybe, because you don't have a lot of offensive linemen and you'll be losing Joel Batonio more than likely, and you can bump up Zach Zinter, but again, what position is he going to play? So how much more do I give Wyatt? We don't know. So there's a maybe there. Like, there's a lot of change that's about to happen with this team, and it doesn't make sense for Terry and his career going on 30 years old to be with this organization. It doesn't make sense for the organization either.
And I do wonder, it's been since what, 20? So when did they take Corey Coleman? It's been a long time since they've taken a wide receiver.
That was a time.
In the first round?
Yeah.
Do you think that's on the table? I know it's so premature, but do you think it's on the table next year?
If Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders plays very well, yes, technically it's on the table right now.
Either that, or if that one of those two picks is the first overall pick anyway, right? And then you don't have to trade the other one to move up.
But
maybe
they haven't had the chance to show anything yet to the fan base in all earnestness.
Right.
So as of August 1st, today's August 1st, they use those two first-round picks on a quarterback and probably an offensive lineman, or they use those two first-round picks to move up for a quarterback. And then you're looking at maybe a first-round wide receiver, depending on what the rest of your roster looks like. You might be looking at a first-round wide receiver in 2027. Is that enough time for Terry McLaurin, or is Terry McLaurin going to want more, and is it still going to bog me down? It's probably still going to bog me down.